So one of my goals for today would be to study Tosus Divya Maskevi Al HaKusis. Because you may recall that we began discussing Rashi on Kusis, but we never got a chance to really study the Tosus. So let's take a look at Tosus Divya Maskevi Al HaKusis. And then, if we finish that, maybe we can get to the Tosvis Vial Eishes Ochiv.
So where is this Tosvah?
So we're on Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph.
Okay.
Yeah, we haven't yet budged from the first Amud, because this is an Iyun Shia. And we're looking at the second major Tosvis on the page. And hopefully we'll go through at least the highlights of this Tosvis, and then Tosvis Dimaraska Vial Eishes Ochiv, which is the fourth Tosfos on the page. Now let's just remind ourselves of what we already know, and that is that Rashi identifies this Mishnah of Kusis with the Man D'Omar that holds Geri Arayis' hand. And Pashtus, when Rashi says V'yeshnon belav delo tischaten, what Rashi means to say is that their geris is completely invalid. They were only motivated by fear of the lions, and that's not called geris, and therefore they have the status of a non-Jewish woman. So the geris, and this took place during the time of Chizkiyo HaMelech, which was a geris of fear, as we said. Is not a valid gerus. So they're going to need another gerus, which would be a genuine, sincere gerus. Now, if their gerus at the time of Chizkiyahu was not valid, then yeshnam bebal belav delo tischatin bo. So there's going to be a violation here of a lav d'oraisa. Hence, kusis, according to Rashi, fits into this category called psulei. Nashim Psulos, she collects knas just like all the other Nashim Psulos that are listed in this Mishnah. And the Psul here is derived from the parish of Nachri, which is Lo Tischatein Ba. So Tosus points out, Lefishi Toso, according to Rashi, if you recall in the case of Mesinim, there we said that according to Rashi, the enterprise of Isur Bia is only Durabana based on Gzeras David HaMelech, but when we get to Kusis, we're upgrading it to the next level of a Dorais of Lotus Chatein Ba. And Tosus points out that this Rashi reflects a Gemara in Perika Orel, in Yevamos Daf Ayin Vav, where the Gemara assumes that Nesinim is Benachrusam Islu Iser Chasnus. So in that sugya, we're going to assume that if the Gerus is invalid, then again there's an Iser Chasnus. And that's, as far as Nesin is concerned, we can perhaps validate the Gerus. And therefore, the Iser Chasnus is only Durabana based on David HaMelech. However, if they remain Nochrios, then the Iser Chasnus is Da'oraisa, not Durabana. We don't need David HaMelech for that. Lotis Chatein Bon. That's in the case of a Nochrus. Now, when we get to Kusis, Rashi identifies Kusis as Gere Arayos, meaning that they are still Nochrios, their Geris is not valid. So Tosfos says, Lo Nehira L'Rabbeinu Yitzchak Ben Rabbi Meir, Diyum Kein, if you're going to tell me that the Kusis of our Mishnah is Geri Arayos, which means they're still Nachrios, so how is it possible that they collect Knas? The Mishnah says that a Kusis collects Knas. Well, Ovedes Kochavim, she's a non-Jewish woman. How could she possibly How should we possibly collect knas? And Tosus refers us to a sugya in the first parak of Ksubis, where the Gemara says vi achla binachriyusa or begiusa, meaning that it's impossible to understand that that the knas would be given over to a nachris. That's the first kasha of the Rivam. How could it be that if the Geri Arayas according to Rashi, then how could a Kusis collect knas as a nachris? A nachris doesn't get knas. And yesterday we discussed this at great length. Now, before we go on, I just want to just give me a minute to get myself oriented here. Now, let's point out that the case of Nesina, and for that matter the case of Kusis, fits into the first category of our Mishnah. So we have Mamzeres, Nesina, and Kusis. According to Rashi, Mamzeres is an Issa Doraisa, Nesina is an Issa Drabanan, and Kusis becomes an Issa Doraisa because it's Gere Arayos. Then we have the second group of the Mishnah, and that group is addressing a whole different category as far as Knas is concerned. A category of a woman who we would normally assume is a Bu'ula, she's not a Naira Basula, and therefore she's excluded from Knas. And the Mishnah says under very unique circumstances where she changed her status before she reached the age of 3, she maintains the status as a Basula. Then we get to the third group. And the third group includes cases of what we call Iser Kares. That has nothing to do with the first group, which is Mamzeres and Kusis. There we're talking about an Iser Lav, but it's not a Chiyuv Kares. The third group is a case of an Iser Kares. Now, what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah that in the third case, a more severe kind of psul, namely an Iser Bia, which is Kares, she still collects Knas? So the Gemara Daf Lamed is going to postulate that the Chiddush of Rav Mishnah is to the exclusion of Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Rav Nechunya ben Akana is of the opinion that Kim Lev the Ramini applies even to a Chiyuv Kares. So if a person, let's say, burns down his friend's haystack on Yom Kippur, which is a Chiyuv Kares, he doesn't pay damages. That's Rav Nechunya ben Akana. And if we would apply Rav Nechunya ben Akana to our Mishnah, for example, in the case of Baal Achoso, as one example of many, then there would not be any knas. The reason why there wouldn't be any knas is because of Kimlev de Rabimine, even though it's only a Chiyuv Bidei Shamayim, which is called Kares, it's not a Chiyuv Misa of the Bezdin. Nevertheless, according to Rav Nechunya ben Akana, Kimlev de Rabimine applies, but our Mishnah doesn't accept Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Hence, it makes sense that in the third category of our Mishnah, despite the fact that he, the Boel, has violated a Chiyuv Kares, nevertheless he pays Knas. But here we have to introduce another element into the equation. And that is a Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. And we mentioned this at the end of yesterday's Shir. In addition to the halacha of Kim Levi the Rabbi Minei, there's another halacha which is almost parallel, quite similar, and that's called Rodev. Now, in the case of Rodev, if there's no other option, then we're allowed to kill the Rodev. And again, there are many examples of a Rodev. We'll talk about a few of them in just a second. But just in conceptual terms, we have to understand that a Rodev can be put to death as long as he maintains his status as a rodent. Exactly. That's called Nitan Latzilo Benafsho. And that's the sugya in Sanhedrin. Now, the Gemara there in Sanhedrin formulates the following principle. That if a person is a rodev and he breaks kalim while he's in the state of a rodev, he doesn't pay for those kalim. He's completely exempt from compensation for damages. And therefore, the Gemara asks the following question in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Gimel. How could it be that our Mishnah in the third category has a list of chayvei krisus? What's common to all the cases of chayvei krisus is the halacha of a rodev. So for example, haba ala choso, a man is about to rape his own sister, chas v'shalom, right? So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, he's a rodev. Nitan latzilo benafsho. Therefore he should be potter from tashlumin. This is another, shall we say, expression of kim lev derabimine. How then can our Mishnah postulate that he pays knas? If at that moment he's a rodev and nitan latzil benafsho, he would not pay knas. Now keep in mind that although our Mishnah doesn't accept Rabbi Nachuni ben Akana in chayvei krisus, that's without the din of rodev. If there's no din of rodev, then if he incurs a chiv kares and a chiv tashlumin moment simultaneously, then according to Rabbi Nachuni ben Akana, he doesn't pay the Tashlume Mamon, but we don't accept Rav Nachunya Ben Akona. That's in the case where the Avera itself generates two Chiyuvim. One is a Chiyuv Karish, which is a punishment in Bezdin, and the other is a Chiyuv Tashlume Mamon, which is an Onish Bezdin. So we don't accept Rav Nachunya Ben Akona. Hence, even though he's Baal Achoso and he's Chayiv Karish for that, he still pays Knas. But what we do accept, that's the Sugyan Sanhedrin, is the halacha of rodev. That has nothing to do with Rav Nachunya ben Akana. Even though we reject Rav Nachunya ben Akana, whenever rodev applies, there's a p'tura tashlumei mamon. Yosef, you look like you're not with me. Did I go too fast, too slow?
The case of rodev in Baal Achoso, he's nitan hatzilo benafsho.
Who's the he over here? I don't know, is that... we're going to kill the rodev.
Yeah, in the case of the arayot,
we're going to kill the rodev if we can, and if there's no other option.
Not show if you know that he.
Right, he's running after this woman to rape her. We know that he's raping her, and we could prevent that rape from happening, but we have no other way of doing so without killing him. Right. We're allowed to kill him, and the Gemara says that if a rodev breaks kalim simultaneous with his status as a rodev, so let's say he's a rodev from time T1 till time T3, in the middle he's running, he's going, he's trying, until time T3, which means when he ceases to be a rodev. For example, let's say he already implemented his scheme, you know, his original plan. But in the middle of that time, if he breaks kalim, he doesn't pay damages for that. So now we have a trouble with our Mishnah. This is the Gemara's cash in Sanhedrin. I didn't invent the cash. And the Gemara says, how could in the third category of our Mishnah, which and what's common to all three is that there's a Chiyuv Kares, well, he's a Rodev, and if he's a Rodev, then he's potter from Tashlumei Mamon. I'm just adding my own little embellishment. That has nothing to do with Rabbi Nachunya ben Akana. Why then does he pay knas? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin quotes an answer in the name of Rav Papa. And Rav Papa says that our Mishnah is talking about a mafata and not an onus. In the case of an onus, he would not pay knas in chayvei krisus because he's a rodev. But in the case of Mafata, insofar as she has Ratzon, she's not makpin on her own situation of kalon, what we call, you know, her humiliation, then she waives from him, the Boel, the status of a Rodef. So again, what we want to get out of this whole discussion for now, we're going to talk a lot about Rodef later on, but for our purposes, what we need to know is that our Mishnah is talking about a Mafata. Are you with me so far? Again, ipso facto, it cannot be ma'anes, because if an anes that he doesn't pay knas, that's called rodev.
Right.
But if it's a mafata, there's no din of rodev. Again, that's the sugi of rodev, which we will touch on a little bit later. But therefore, he pays knas.
So it's the last section that Mishnah is dealing with. Mefata.
Correct, mafata. And that's going to give us a gigantic headache, which we're about to embark upon then.
I didn't hear what you said.
I'm saying that the last part of our mission is dealing with the case of mafata, azoizok rav papa, because otherwise there's no way we could justify the chiyuv knas. He's a rodev. Okay. Now, keep in mind, Rav Papa, our Mishnah is talking about, in the last part of the Mishnah, a mafata situation. Let's read the second case of the Mishnah in the third group. Achos Aviv. Okay, fine. Achos Aviv is an Iser Kares, so it fits in together with Achoso. So he has a relationship with his aunt, right? And then we have Achos Imo, another kind of an aunt. Then we have Achos Ishto, that's a sister-in-law. Here's where I want to take a break for a moment. Eshes Achiv. Now, let me ask you the following question. Eshes Achiv, literally, if you translate it, what I'm about to say is absolutely wrong, but you're going to tell me why it has to be wrong, means the wife of his brother. Could it be the wife of his brother? Impossible. You can't take the Mishnah literally. Why not? I'm quizzing you. What's the status of the wife of his brother? I mean, she's any different than anybody's wife? She's definitely what? An Eshes Ish. Now, what's the punishment for having a relationship with an Eshes Ish, a married woman? Misas Bezdin. Well, in Misas Bezdin, we all accept the principle of Kim Leib D'Ramine. We don't need Rav Nechunya Ben Akona. Rav Nechunya Ben Akona would be correct in the first three cases of this Kfutza Gimel, namely Achiv Kares. But when we get to the fourth case of Eshes Achiv, forget about Rav Nechunya Ben Akona. Drop it. It's a case of Chivu Misas Bezdin. And if it's Chiyuv Misas Bezdin because she's a married woman, then there's no knas in such a case. That's classic Kim Leib D'Rabbanan, which nobody questions. Sal Karcha, we're going to have to say that she was Eshes Achiv, but in the meantime, his brother either delivered her a get, or perhaps he died with children, because otherwise it's a mitzvah of Yibum. But be that as it may, she's Eshes Achiv, but she was already married. Now, this is a problem. Why? So let me lay down a premise which we're going to attack, and we're going to punch it with all the force and all the might. But for the meantime, just for pedagogic purposes, I'm going to ask you to accept the following premise. The Torah in the parash of Knas awards the Knas to the father, and only to the father. Leave out the Nara herself. Correct? And again, if you open up the Pasuk in Parashas Ki Teitzeh, that's what you'll see. V'nasan lavi anara chamishim kesef. Right? That's all. So again, you and I may know more Chidushi Torah, and we mentioned once the Chassam Sofer, but forget about all that. Let's just be very naive. All we know is that the Torah says, give the knas to the father. Oh. Now we're talking about a woman who was married to the Boel's brother, correct? Yes? Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Eshes Achiv. And now she's no longer married to him. She's no longer married to him. But she was married to him at one point. Uh-huh. Now, once a woman gets married, if she's a Nara, that's Mafkia, the halacha of Binureha Beis Avir. Binurei Beis Avir means the Torah gives a schus to all the monetary benefits or income of a Nara. The Torah awards that to the father up until the point he marries her off. Once he marries her off, she's on her own. right? Like my mother made, she rest in peace, when I got married, she said to me, take your socks and take your shirts, you know, don't leave anything in the house. You know, a lot of people get married, they leave all their, you know, my mother said, pack it all out, right? So the very moment that this Nara gets married, she packs out of her father's house. Even if later on her husband will divorce her, and she's still a Nara, let's say, right? She doesn't go back to her father's rishus. Once she leaves her father's rishus, she's out of her father's rishus. So now let's put together the following three premises, and we have a major kasha here. This woman was once married. Knas is given to the father. Once a woman is married, even if she's still a Nara, then there's no room for knas.
Does it go to her, or is it?
So again, I wanted to sort of indulge your naivete at this point. I'm assuming now that there's no such thing as a knas that's given to. Again, we're going to pounce many holes into this, but right now, you know, just for pedagogic purposes, if you can bear with me, the assumption is that knas goes to the father. That's what you'll see in the Torah. There's no mention of a knas going to her. So now we have the following problem. The Mishnah says, "Haba al Eishes Achiv." We're going to have another case of Eishes Achiyah. Same question will apply there. This woman was once married. Once she's married, she leaves the rishus of the father. How then could there be knas? Oh. So the Rishonim want to suggest that it all depends upon whether or not she was a grusha, or for that matter, an almana, min ha'erusin, or min ha'nisuin. Let me explain. When does a woman leave the rishus of her father? Obviously, the father married her off, but we know that marriage expresses itself in two stages. There's erusin and nisuin. If we're going to say, again, assuming our two premises, each of which has to be understood, if we're going to assume the following two premises, that number one, with Erison alone, she leaves the rishus of the father. Number two, Knas is exclusively earmarked for the father, then we don't understand our Mishnah. Why? Because if Erison knocks the father out of the box, then if Knas goes to the father, then he's out of the picture. So how can the Mishnah justify that there is a Knas? Just bear with me for a moment. Oh. The other possibility is to say that this is after Nisuin. What do I mean? That, just 1 second. I'm sorry. The other possibility is to say that with Erusin, she still remains in the father's rishus, at least in potential. What do I mean in potential? As long as she's an Arusa, she's out of the father's rishus. But if now she becomes a Grusha, and she's still a Nara, or she becomes an Almana, she goes back to her father's rishus.
She can't be an Almana if she's just an Arusa.
What do you say?
How can she be an Amon? Oh, I mean, her Arus can die and she's an Amon. She's called an Amon.
Well, I'm using the term Amon. I don't know. Maybe you have technical, I don't know. You know, we'll do a word search in Shas. But I'm saying she's what's called an Almona min ha'erusin, not an Almona min ha'suin. Oh. So if she's an Almona min ha'erusin, then we can begin to understand this parsha of Ba'al Eishes Achiv, that there's a payment of Knas, because now that her husband is out of the picture, and again, we prove that her husband is out of the picture from the fact that otherwise she'd be an Eishes Ish, and we'd apply the principle of Kimleib the Rav, and it would be no Knas. So the husband is out of the picture, and now since there was no Nisuin, she goes back into the Rishus of her father. Now, is there any compelling reason, other than what I just explained, to assume that she goes back into, to assume that our Mishnah is talking about an Arusa and not an Asua?
Yeah, Yeah, because otherwise there's no knas. I mean, it has to be for the knas to be applicable to the father. She can't.
Well, no. I'm saying even if I would say that that I don't know this halach that it's exclusively the father for another reason. So let me just read to you a Rambam. In Hilchas Naira Habsula, Perek Alpha Lachetes, the Rama writes, Mishenises, once she has Nisuin, she goes out of her father's Rishus. Let me take a retake on that. The Rama says, Mishenises, Ein Laknas. Why? Now listen carefully. The Rama holds that the difference between a besula and a ba'ula, and of course in Knas we're talking exclusively about what? A besula, is not a physical difference, or at least it's not only a physical difference. There's also a halachic factor, al-pidin, that makes her into a ba'ula. What's that? So the Rambam writes, Mishenises, says the Rambam, Afilu lo nivala, ein lo knas. Afilu lo nivala, ein lo knas. Now again, if you can assume, the payment of knas is earmarked exclusively for the father, then I can understand this Rama. But the Rama says lo nivala. The Rama wants to tell you that even though lo nivala, the nesuin generates a status of nivala. And this is a sugi in the first perek of Ksubis with regard to what does this woman collect if her husband dies and she gets remarried. Does she get a Ksubis Pesula or does she get a Ksubis Almana? So a Ksubis Pesula is Matayim, is 200 zuz, and a Ksubis Almana is Mea zuz. So if she's a besula, she gets masayim. Now she's still a besula. Physically, she's still a besula. But al pidin, she's a ba'ula. Why? The Gemara says, because once there's nesuin, she's a ba'ula. So two ways of understanding that. The Rashba writes, once she entered in nesuin, she loses a certain chen, a certain grace or a beloved stature in the eyes of the second suitor, if you follow what I mean. And therefore he pays her only 100 zuz. The Rambam says, nay, she's considered a ba'ula. Even if there are edim, that lo nivala, they were with her from the moment of chuppah until the moment that he drops dead or he gave her get, nevertheless, she has a din of a ba'ula. That's how the Rambam learns the sugya of ksubas mea in the case of an almana min an esun. But the Rambam went a step further, and the Rambam says that same halacha applies in Naira Hamura, in Naira Besula as far as Knas is concerned. That with Erisin, she becomes a Ba'ula Alpi Din, even though physically she's still a Besula. So we can have absolute proof that she's a Besula. She's out of the parasha of Knas. Why? Because she had a Nesuin. So again, Rabbi Osai, if I ask you the question about Eishes Achiv, and we're saying that number one, the Ach is out of the picture, that has to be so, otherwise she's an Eishes Ish. Then I ask you the second question, well, when did he drop out of the picture? Was it after Erisin or after Nisuin? So there are two answers, two proofs, both of which come to the identical conclusion. One proof is going to be that it must be after the Erisin, because otherwise the father has no rights to collect the Knas. So it must be that after Erisin she goes back to the father's Rishus. It cannot be after Nisuin if I assume that Knas is earmarked exclusively to the father. The other way of approaching it is I can prove to you that we're talking about a Grusha or Almana Min HaErisin from a different perspective, from the Rambam's perspective. Because the Rambam holds that she, if she was in a Suah, she's knocked out of the box, she's knocked out of the Parsha of Knas for a whole different reason. And namely because she's already a Ba'ula. So far so good? I don't know, Yosef, you're looking at me like I'm a little nuts here. I don't know.
I mean, Rashi says, Shemit Kachalo Le'achiv V'girsha. So we see Nitkatsha sounds like Erisin.
Correct, but how did Rashi know that? So again, Rashi is going to give you an explanation how I know that it was Nisgarisha. Right? Because Rashi wants to lower the level of the violation from Achiv Kareis from a chiyuv misa for an eishes ish down to a chiyuv kares. Otherwise, we're stuck with kim levi the rabbi. But Rashi doesn't tell you why he says niskadsha, and we're offering two possible answers. Number one, niskadsha because Rashi wants to say if it was after nesud, she doesn't go back to the rishus of the father. And if I assume that only the father has rights to collect this money, then how is there a knas in our mishnah? The other way of learning this Rashi is based on the Rambam Shita that after Nisun she becomes a Ba'ula al Pidin, even if we have Eidin that she's not a Ba'ula. Hence, how could she collect Knas? The answer has to be Niskadsha. Niskadsha without Nisun. Okay. Now, all this is an introduction to my question about Rav Papa. Let's go back to Rav Papa. Rav Papa insists that in all the cases in the third group of chive krisis, there's no din of a rodef. Why? Because we're talking about what? A mafuta. Okay. Now, if we're talking about a mafuta, then life becomes quite exciting for us. Why is that? Because, again, I'm adding a little proviso here, so I shouldn't be over Dvar Sheker, and I'm adding the word according to one version, because there's another version, so, but we're going to operate with this version. According to one version, Rabbi Akiva holds that with Erusin, she, the Nara, leaves the Rishus of Hafar, with Erusin alone. Again, there's going to be another version of Rabbi Akiva and a Braisa later on, but in the Mishnah itself, Rabbi Akiva on Daf Lamed Vav is going to maintain that with Erusin she leaves the Rishus of her father. So now, if we're talking about Eishes Achiv, and by definition it must be at the very minimum that she had Erusin, otherwise she can't be considered Eishes. On the other hand, her husband is out of the picture. Let's say he died or he gave her get. According to Rabbi Akiva, if Erusin completely severs the relationship between her and her momenos and her father, li'olam vayah, that's irreversible, then how can there be a knas? So the Gemara answers that that's only because she collects the knas. Now watch what goes on over here. According to Rabbi Akiva, yet you have to juggle all the premises. Rabbi Akiva holds that with Erusin she leaves the shus of the father. How does Rabbi Akiva justify our Mishnah that there's a payment of knas in the case of Eishes Achiv, which means at the very minimum, at the very least, you have to grant me she had Erusin? The answer is that there are two collectors, can I use that word? Two tovim on knas. It's either the father, or if there's no father, if he's out of the picture, she can be tovea the knas. Hence, what happens is, with Erusin, according to Rabbi Akiva, she leaves the rishus of her father. Never ever will he be able to have rights, you know, digging into her mama. Not knas, or not any kind of money that accrues to her. Mimela, the only way of learning knas here is a knas law. What do we do with Rav Papa? Rav Papa holds that the case of admission is what? Is a mafuta. Because if it was an ones, it would be rodev. And if it's rodev, he doesn't pay tashlume knas. No, if it's a case of mafuta, mafuta is an automatic mechila. Now, wait a second. Let's go slowly. Who remembers the Chasam Sofer? Again, you have to put all your premises together. The Chasam Sofer says that she cannot be mocheles, otherwise we're going to undermine the whole parasha of mefuta, right? There's a parasha of mishpat to mefuta, pays knas. Now, if you're going to tell me that she can be mocheles because she had ratzon, then forget it. The whole parasha of mefuta is completely null and void. The answer is she cannot be mocheles. Why? Because the Torah earmarked that knas for whom?
For father.
So she's not the balabas. Oh.
Uh-oh.
Now we wonder, what about Rav Papa? Why? Because if the whole reason that she can't be mocheles is because of the father's chus, but medvar mamur before Erusin. Again, we're going to Rabbi Akiva in the first version of Rabbi Akiva, and the first version of Rabbi Akiva is that the father forgoes his rishus over hadini momenus with Erusin. And we've proven that this case of Eishes Achiv, at the very minimum, is after Erusin. Otherwise, she's not Eishes Achiv. Now, if it's after Erisin, the father is out of the picture, who's left in the picture? The only way of justifying admission of Knas is her. The problem is, if Rav Pop is right, that admission has to be talking about what? A Mefuta, then she's Mocheles. Ah, you'll tell me you undermine the parasha of Mefuta through Mechiliash's name. In 99 out of 100 cases, she cannot be Mocheles because the Torah earmarks this money for the father. But if Lu Yitzuyah, she's the only one who could collect it. Why? Because she leaves her father's riches through Erisin. Then in such a case, she can be Mocheles. So how do we justify our Chiyuv Knas according to Rav Papa in the case of a Mefuta when the father's out of the picture? She's already at Arusa. And this leads us to the second version of Rabbi Akiva, which is a brisa later on at the end of this perek, that she doesn't leave the rishus of her father until after Nisuin. But it seems, again, at first glance, that the only way we can come up with A, an understanding about Mishnah, and B, Rav Papa's understanding about Mishnah, and again, we don't know an alternative to Rav Papa, because otherwise we're stuck with the problem of Rodev. So then we're talking obviously about a case of Mefuta. How could there possibly be a Knas in the case of Mefuta? And the answer is, we're going to have to reintroduce the father into the picture. How do we reintroduce the father in the picture? We're going to have to assume that since she was an almada or a grusha min ha'eris, and she goes back to the father's rishus, and therefore, even in the case of Mefuta, the knas goes to the father. Her mechila is not going to be affected. But all this is built on the predicate of a difference between Erisin and Nisuin, namely as far as what the Torah calls Binurebe Savia Kol Shvach Nurei Levia, that she's in the Rishus of the father, that only applies after Nisuin. That's not Rabbi Akiva's sheet. I mean, there is a Brisa that quotes Rabbi Akiva to that effect, but Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah is of the opinion that name, that as long as she is out of the Rishus of the father, even vis-a-vis the lower level case of what? Of Erisin, she doesn't go back into the Rishus of the father. If that be the case, if she doesn't go back to the father, there's no way that you can justify Knas in the case of a Mefuta. The answer is that we're going to have to introduce into our equation the Shita that after Erisin, she does go back into the Rishus of the father. Once the Aris is out of the picture, he gave her get, or he died, she goes back to the Rishus of the father. Hence, there's going to be Knas for the father. It can't be Knas for her, meaning on her ground, because it was a case of Mefuta. And therefore she's Mochel.
So while I answered Rav Papa, you didn't answer Rav Akiva going to Lachim.
Correct. Correct. We mamish don't have an answer to this question. That's what this article in Mishkanos HaRoim is going to be about that we want to cover today. So first of all, let me just ask you if you all have the same page.
Was that also the question of Tosus?
I in Tosus.
Tosus asking this question?
Yeah. This is all based on Tosus. We're going to, Valineta will be able to go through the Tosus inside. Tosus is actually in two places. It's in Sanhedrin, and it's here as well.
What page do you should also know this?
Ayin Tes. Just let me know if you have Ayin Tes.
I
don't think I do.
You don't have it? Let me ask you a question. Jeff, do you have Ayin Tes?
Yeah.
Yes. Would you mind maybe just hopping over to the... anybody else have Ayin Tes?
I have.
Everyone has.
Everyone has. So just take a picture of it. If Yechiel's the only one, have camera, we'll travel.
Have camera, exactly.
Right.
Two sides. Ayin Tes. I'll do that to the one that we're here.
I'll wait a minute.
Now, just I want to give you a shortcut, and then we'll do the long cut. For the shortcut on Ayin Tes, take a look at the top left column. Do you see the word Vetirtzu?
Mm-hmm.
This is a Tosus in Sanhedrin, and he writes, "Demasnisin Sfirle Kahabraisa Bedaf Lamed Ches, De Rabbi Akiva Sfirle De Knosa Lavir." Meaning, even after Erisin, once the Aris is out of the picture, then what happens to her financial status now? She goes back to the resource of her father. You see that line? That's really the culmination of my entire introduction here to today's shiur. But what I'd like to do is, if you don't mind, the long version and go through it inside. So on the right column, you see the words, the second paragraph before the end, B'Sanhedrin Ayin Gimel?
Yeah.
Parchinon, the Gemara asks, Amay yesh lahen knas? Harodefu v'nitan latzila b'nafsho. And he quotes the Mishnah and the Brice over there in Sanhedrin, Harodef livol chayev b'chayve krisus. If a man is running after a woman to have be'ila with an isha that's chayve krisus, matzilin osan b'nafsho shel rodef. Interesting, the word osan is in the plural. We're actually talking about one individual, but we use the word osan because of chayve krisus is in the plural. So we're dealing with many different cases, obviously. There's a separate halacha that if a person is a rodev, then he is exempt from payment in any sort of damage that he generates during the time he's a rodev. So what do we do with our Mishnah? We're talking about a case of a person who's definitely a rodeh because he's chayveh, krisus, umishani, and the Gemara could only justify our Mishnah and deflect rodeh by saying masnisa mayer b'mefuta d'miyadiyesh laknas v'lo nitan latzila b'nafsho sharei eina makpedes. Alright, these two words, eina makpedes, really... You mamash have to know a lot more about rodef than I can tell you. I can just say this on a very superficial level. There's something called kalon, kuf lamed vav nun, which has to do with the, you know, there's certain specific averos, like in a case of an animal. There's very specific averos that are called kalon, and one of them is isurei bia, and that generates the law of. Of what's called rodef, like for example, if a man is about to be mechal Shabbos, we're not allowed to kill him, even though chil Shabbos is a more severe avera than having relations with his brother's wife. You follow what I mean? It's a chiv misa, but that's there's no kalon element. So kalon element is something that's subject to a distinction between onus and mafata. So in the case of mafata, there's no din of nita latzilo benafsha. Again, this touches on Rav Chaim's famous Chakira, which maybe we'll get back to, whether Rodeif Nitan Latzil B'Nafsho is B'Torah's Chiyuv, meaning that we're being Mechayev him Misa, or it's B'Torah's Hatzolas HaNirdaf, for the sake of the Nirdaf, to protect that victim from being victimized, that's where the Torah says you kill the person. If need be, again, you can shoot for the legs, you know, but I'm saying if you can't do anything else, then you kill the person. So this Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Gimel would certainly seem to support the position that the Machayev of Rodef is Hatzolas HaNirdaf. Because again, if it's the Aver of the Rodef, what difference it make whether it's Kalon, there's no Kalon, it's Mechila, not Mechila, it must have to do with the rights almost, you know, almost the inalienable rights of the Nirdaf to protect himself from the Rodef, even at the expense of taking the life of the Rodef. Okay, that's just a side comment. Frek Tosfos, and this you'll see here in the Tosfos Ve'el Eishes Achiv, which Belineder I want to go through inside with you in just 5 minutes. But you'll also see it in Tosfos there in the Sugyan Sanhedrin. Hechi matzis lumka b'mefute. How could we possibly accept Rav Papa mefute? Haktani aval eishes achiv yesh lo knas. Al koch mayri kishen is arso. Because again, otherwise she'd have a din of bu'ula. Let's assume like the Rambam Shita. And is Garsha, because otherwise she'd be an eishes ish. And there's a chiv misas bezdin. And there's no knas in a chiv misas bezdin. Farei masnisin tnan dinarish and is arsiv nisgasha v'kiva omer yeshla knas uknasali atzma, meaning Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah, we're not ready for Rabbi Akiva in the Brisa yet. Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah presents, what word am I looking for? He expresses the opinion that once there's erisin, she's out of the reshus of the father. And if there's knas in the case of a woman who is nisarsa, then it's going to have to be knas aliatzma. But knas aliatzma, if the father's out of the opinion, would only make sense in the case of onus, not in the case of mafata. Kevin shekans aliatzma is mafata potu miknas demidaita of da umachla. And that's going to be a sugi at the end of the third parak of Ksubis, the parak that we're learning now. Vitirtzu and Tosus gives the answer. Temasnis and Svirlek have Raisa Bidaf Ilamin Ches, another version of Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva Svirle the Knossal Leavia, despite the fact that she was an Arusa, and again, this is going to have repercussions in many other different dinim. It's not just limited to Knas in the case of Mafuta, but it'll apply elsewhere. Now, there's going to be another Kash in Tosus, which we'll get to in a minute, but first, what I'd like to do is take a moment to read this Tosfos inside Al Eshes Achiv. Okay. Tosfos says the following. Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel Deparech B'Yushalmi. The Yushalmi is going to ask, why does the Mishnah in the case of Elu Yeshlam Knas include Eishes Achiv? And what about Yevamahi? Maybe she has a din of Yevama. Uzkuka, she's Kuka Leibum. So that's impossible, correct? Because, you know, we're talking about a violation, not a kiyum of a mitzvah. If you're going to pay Knas, it's not for fulfilling a mitzvah. So it must be a case where she has where he has children at least, and therefore there's no din of Yibum. Oh. Now, if there's no din of Yibum, ma knas v'kores shayach bo. Just one second, let me just clear my brain for a second. So since it's a case of... they might have a low so let's go through this. If she has children from her previous husband, who's the brother, right? Let's call him Reuven. So Shimon is the Ma'anes, and Reuven was married to this woman, correct? Now, if there's no Yibum, it must mean that he has children from this marriage. Or let's assume from this marriage. Again, we'll see about other marriages in a second, but let's, because if you take it mathematically step by step. So if he has children, then she's not a Basula anymore. Correct? Yeah. Now, if she's not a Basula, there's no Knas. Well, Mishani, you have to say, V'shiyesh labanim mi'isha cheres. The reason why there's no Yibum here, and there is a Knas, is because he has children from a previous marriage. Yeah. So he doesn't have any children from this marriage, hence she could still be a Basula. Right? She could still be a Basula, and therefore there could be Knas. Oh. Umishani v'sheyesh bonim mi'isha acheres. Okay, fine. That's shall we say, paragraph number one. That's not so relevant to us. Then Rabbi Nachnal adds the following proviso. The irie, we're talking about a case, b'meis min ha'erusin. Again, we want to make sure she's a besula. So you can't assume she's a besula if she's already a nesua. Right? Again, notwithstanding the issue of what if there were eidim that even after Nisuin, before he dropped dead or before he gave her get, she never had a chance to consummate the marriage, leaving that out, which as I said before might be a machlok shin, the Ram and Rashi on the one hand and the Rashba on the other hand. For who adin davi motzi li ukme be shegirsha. In other words, the Yerushalmi investigates the possibility that he died, but it really doesn't have to be, even though the Gemara says Iri b'meis after the Erisin, it could be a case of Gerishin as well. Yeah. Because again, she's still a Besula, because it's after Erisin before Nisuin. And there's no Yibum, because they never consummated the marriage, so he couldn't have had any children from her, but he had children from a previous marriage. Okay, all that is just a part of it. I didn't want to cut off the head of the Tosus. Of Akasha Liriva, this is where we want to start. If we're talking about a case where Reuven, right, the first husband, died, it's actually only one of us, but anyway, he died after the Erisin, before Nisuin, Ilarav Papa, the Mukiach Masnisa b'mafuta, the Perik ben Sorer, again, because Rav Papa wants to avoid the problem of Rodev, is Tikshile. Hechi motzi liukma hachi. How is it possible that our Mishnah is talking about a case of a mafuta? Now, she was, again, she became an almana mina erisin. Azoi state in the Yerushalmi. So she was this arsa and then this almala. Right? Now, We went ahead and we added another possibility in the Yerushalmi, although the Yerushalmi doesn't spell this out explicitly. It could be Nis Arsov and Nis Garisha. Okay. Now, what's her status? Does she go back to the father's Rishus? Tosus at this point is reflecting the mission of Rabbi Akiva, that Knosa Liatzma, meaning that the father lost his chus forevermore and he can no longer collect our knas. So who could collect the knas in our Mishnah? It's Liatzma. But wait a second. We're talking according to Rav Papa about a mafuta. Otherwise we have the problem of Rodev. Now in a case of mafuta, if the father's out of the picture, ain lo knas. She cannot collect the knas in the case of mafuta. Can Amrina be Gemara? This is the Gemara at the end of the first of the third parak. Ubereish nara mishum demidaita avda, that since she consented to have this relationship, she can't turn around and sue him for penalties when she herself submitted herself. So how could Rav Papa introduce in our Mishnah the case of mafuta when the father's out of the picture because of the Erison situation? Right now, Tosfos is assuming, like Rabbi Akiva, that Erison alone takes her out of the Rishus of the father. V'chi teimen, if you'll say, because Savar Tana de Masnisin Rabbi Akiva de Brisa. Now, Rabbi Akiva in the Brisa, it's a different version of Rabbi Akiva, he maintains that after Erison, since there was no Nisuin, she goes back to the Rishus of the father, and that's called Knosa Le'avia. In other words, Erison is not enough to be Mafkia from the Rishus of the father. Only Nisuin is Mafkia, the father's Zechuyos to the Rishus of the father. Now we're going to tell us that even in the case of Mafuta, she has no ability to be Mocheles. Why can't she not be Mocheles? Because the money is earmarked to whom? To the father. Because again, we're holding like Rabbi Akiva in the Brice, so that Nisarisim and Nisgash, she goes back to the Rishus of the father. Im Kain, Akati, Tikshile. We still have a question on Rav Papa. In the case of Mefuta Ben Erison, why? From the Seif of our Mishnah. Okay, this is where we got up to in the Mishkanos HaRoim, the next paragraph of Ode Hikshu B'Tosus. This is the Ode Hikshu B'Tosus. What does it say in the Seifa? Now this Seifa is not in our, it's not printed, I should say, on our daf, right? You know, the Mishnah is of, it's on daf lamed vav amid base. So if anybody doesn't mind, while I go through the Tosus, just opening up to daf lamed vav amid base. The Katani, it says in the Mishnah, Haba albito potur. A man never rapes his own daughter. Again, when I say rape, we're not ready for a papa. If it's a papa, then we're going to talk about mafuta. But let's talk first about before a papa. So as a result of this relationship, the Mishnah says there's no knas. Now why is there no knas? So we could have come up with reason X, which we'll get to in just a second, but the Mishnah itself gives a reason. And the Mishnah says, Mishum de Kim Le B'Dirabimine. Did anybody open up to the Mishnah?
It does not say that.
Oh, it doesn't say Kim Le B'Dirabimine?
No, it says
Mipnei Shemischai. Oh, I'm sorry. Mipnei Shemischai B'Nafsha, which is Kim Le B'Dirabimine. So again, the difference between the Mishnah on Daf Choftes and the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Vavim Vez is that our Mishnah here at the beginning of the Perek is addressing the case of Chayvei Krisus. Yes. And we're not holding like Rav Nachman Yehuda Kona, hence there's no Kimle Rabine, and hence you pay Knas. The Mishnah Daf Lamed Vav is addressing a case of a Chiyuv Mises Bezdin. And once there's a Chiyuv Mises Bezdin, that knocks off the Knas. So again, the Mishnah is absolutely outspoken. A plus B. A means that there should be a Knas, but B, Kimle Rabine knocks off the Knas. Mm-hmm. Do you hear what I'm being medayik from the Mishnah? That's going to be the undermining premise of this Tosfos, that if not for Kimle B'Dirabimine, there would be a Knas. Frektosis, I don't understand. The father is out of the picture in this case of Knas. Why is the father out of the picture? He was the one. You know, remember that placard, Nixon's the one. You know, I'm really dating myself. Right? So he's the one. So he doesn't pay himself knas, you understand? So in this case, the only way of justifying knas would be
she gets the knas.
Right before Kim Levi the Rabbi. I'm talking pre-Kim Levi the Rabbi, if you follow what I mean. But we're going according to Rav Papa. Rav Papa says the Mishnah is talking about a case of what? Mefata. If it's a case of Mefata, then she's Mochelis, it's Midaita. Hence there is no Knas. So why did the Mishnah have to come on to Kim Lev the Rabbinate to justify why there's no Knas in Abal Bito? Forget about Kim Lev the Rabbinate. I don't have to know. I'm not a big lamdan. I don't know Mibnation Mishai Benafsh. What I do know, we're talking about a Mefuta. So we might have shot there can't be any Knas.
It's hard to imagine she's being masking to this one. Her father, so.
Okay, that's a good question. I don't know. I when I learned this Gemara, I imagined, you know, the Gemara says in Masechet Bava Kama that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah prayed to the Ribono Shel Olam to be Mavatel the Yetzer Hara for Arayus. And the Gemara says, if I remember correctly, in Shoshan Ogaf, that there was a partial acceptance of the tefillah of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So for certain Arayus, which are what we call incest, HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed the Yetzer Hara, because apparently incest was very common back in the day. Now today, I don't know what's going on, because I'm not a Baki, but tell me if you've, you know, you can Google this, but it seems like these kinds of incest are quite common today. So like we're going back to the period of time before they were Mispalahim, before the Sanhedrin HaGedolah was Mevatel Yetzer Hara. So I asked me, you know, for us, it's so hard to imagine this. You know, what do you mean incest? The man has a relationship with his daughter. I mean, what are you, crazy? This guy should be, you know, sent to an insane asylum. But the answer is apparently the man has that potential. So what does it mean? So I'm not giving you a lecture here in psychology, but I would say the closest relationship between a male and a female, other than marriage maybe, is a father and a daughter. And somehow that could express itself in physical intimacy. I mean, for that we had a Yetzer Hara that was so burning that Chazal say that at a certain time these kind of relationships were absolutely rampant. So again, you know, put yourself into that mentality of the pre-Bittul Yetzer Hara, you know, kind of thing. So Mafata means that the father and the daughter had such a close relationship that they culminated in a sexual relationship. And again, as crazy as that sounds, today it's actually happening. I don't know how often it happens. Hopefully it's one in a billion. But there are cases that are unfortunately recorded, you know. So in any event, the Tosis says the following. Tosis says, typically the knossel of viyahavi. In other words, again, knossel of viyah means that if we're talking about a case of mafuta, as Rav Papa insists, then it can't be knossel yatsma. He's going through all the possibilities, setting up a mimonavshah. So it's got to be knossel of viyah. But again, that would give me a very good explanation as to why there's no knas, because if knasal avia and he was the one who seduced his daughter, then he certainly is mochel to himself, right? He's not going to pay himself a knas for this action. And to Eli Atzma, if you're going to tell me, well, no, maybe the knas in the Hava, I mean, before Kimli the Rabbi was earmarked for her, is Tikshe Lay. Now you have to ask a different question, according to Rav Papa. Dimachla, because she's a mafuta, according to Rav Papa, and therefore she was mocheles. So forget about Kim Lev the Rabbi. Dal mihachi, typically that the mimonavshach. There's no possibility of knas. Do we have it so far? So in Baal Bito, why does the Mishnah have to add Kim Lev the Rabbi into the picture? Dal mihachi, there's no knas because we're talking about mafuta. Uvimanavshach tikshe seifa. Right? Now, again, I think Tosfos says tikshe seifa. He's hinting, or how should I say, intimating that maybe Rav Papa would say that there's a difference between the Reisha, which is published, which is printed here on Daf Choftes, and the Seifa, which is on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis. Maybe Rav Papa is only insisting that, you know, we have to really divide the Mishnah into two. Our Mishnah of Chayve Krisus is talking about a mafut, because otherwise there cannot be knas based on the sugya of Rodek. But when we get to the Sefer, which is the Mishnah Daf Lamed Vav of Baal Bito, then maybe we have to talk about a case of onus. And if it's a case of onus, the father's out of the picture because he was the ma'anes. She could collect knas, and therefore the Mishnah, and there's no mechila from her point. So the Mishnah has to introduce a whole new element in the equation, namely what? Kimlei b'deravine, because it's a chiyuv misa. But Tosis is not so happy with that, and he says tikshe seifa. In other words, Tosis is assuming that the Mishnah is one indivisible entity. Let me just read here. He has a footnote here. Or I don't know, this footnote is not relevant to us right now. So again, in the case of Baal Bito, whether the knas goes to the father or the knas goes to her is totally irrelevant. There cannot be knas. Number one, because of the mechila of the father. Number two, because of her mechila, if it's a case of mafata. Okay. So before we go on to the Yerushalmi, which is going to be Tosfos' answer, let's just read, if you don't mind, the Mishkanos HaRoim. For me, this is a very good chazora. And we're on page Ayin Tes, but in this case, the left column. Ode Hikshu B'Tosfos. Dil Rav Papa, Al Karchach Masnisa B'Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, Habal Bito, Ein Lo Kras Nesha Meskai B'Nafsha, Mayri Nami B'Mafuta. Again, he's not willing to say Reisha B'Mafuta V'Seifa B'Onis. De'i Mayri B'Anusa. Oh. So this I didn't see. Just one second. The e myri be anusa bechinam nokad ba al chayvei krisu de chayvei krisus nami ein lo knaske mishin. Oh, I see. I'm sorry, I missed this point. Who is he quoting here? Oh, this is the Tosfos Re. Can't cross the Tosfos Re. Anyway, there are different Balei Tosfos, so we don't have it in our Tosfos, but in another Tosfos, another version of Tosfos, he adds the following element to the equation. And that is, if we're talking about an anusa, then why did the Mishnah have to say Ein Lo Knas in the case of Chivei Mises Bezdin by virtue of Kimlev de Ravine, even in the case of Chivei Krisus? We would say Ein Lo Knas because of Kimlev Rabine. Which Kimlev the Rabine? The Rodef Kimlev, the Rodef model of Kimlev the Rabine. So why did the Torah? I'm sorry. Why did the Mishnah have to introduce a Chiyuv Misas Bezdin of Bito in order to press the button of Kimlev the Rabine? Leave it with the previous Mishnah, namely the case of Chayvei Krisus. That alone would be enough to say. To say Kimlev deRabine, apply that principle because of what? Of Rodef. Right? Unless you introduce Mefuta. So therefore, it must be that even in the Sefer, we're talking about a Mefuta. Rabbi Osser, one more time, do you mind? You know, with mathematics, I'm very slow. He says the following. If you were to say, which was my suggestion, I thought that was a logical suggestion, that the Sefer is addressing a case of Anusa, then the Mishnah, it's what you call liflog velisni v'didad. The Mishnah would not have to stretch his arm out to a case of Bito. It could have said according to our puppet, it would have said the following. When do we say that in Chayvei Krisus there's what? There's Knas. That's only in the case of Mefuta, but if it would have been in the same exact case of Psulos, meaning of Chayvei Krisus, it would have been a case of Anusa, then there would be no Knas because of Kimlev deRabine. If the whole thrust of the Mishnah is to introduce this element into the equation of Kimlev deRabine, it didn't have to stretch its arm out to Bito. It could have sufficed in the case of Chayvei Krisus, and there would be no Knas because of Kimlev deRabine, because of the din of Rodef, if it was a case of Ones. So the answer is, the Mishnah must be saying that we're talking about a case of Mefuta. No, if we're a case of Mefuta, then why do you need Kimlev deRabine? In Mimonavshach, Imar v'sasav v'nisgarsha, k'man diyomer k'nos aliatzma, if you're going to tell me that it's a case of k'nos aliatzma, it might be inel the time of the Kimlev melav hokim Mefuta, there's Mechila. V'imar v'lonis asola, etc. Akati, might be inel the time of the Kimlev Rami, or k'nos laviha, who's going to pay the knas to? For sure there's mechil. So in Marav Shach there's a built-in mechil. Okay, now this leads us to the Yerushalmi. Okay. Now, apparently, this kasha on Rav Papa from the Sefer does not appear anywhere in the Bavli, but it actually does appear in the Yerushalmi. Why did the Mishnah need to introduce Kim Leib the Rabbi Minei? Since Mimonav Shach, there's a Mechila, either the Mechila of the father or the Mechila of the daughter. So the Yerushalmi says, Mukile, the Yerushalmi introduces an Ukimta. This Ukimta is based on the Shita Rabbi Yossi Aglili. What's Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Kishaba aleha ad shalomais umais. That's an appropriate punishment, right?
On the spot.
Yeah. This reminds me of the famous story of Rabbi Kivega, you know, that there was a husband who refused to divorce his wife. So the Rabbi Kivega summoned him to come in, and he refused to divorce his wife, even though Alpidini had to divorce his wife. So Rabbi Kivega said to him, look, the Mishnah says, Ha'isha konis atzma b'shtei drachim. You take your choice. It's either get or misa sabal. He turned, and he dropped dead at the door. Now again, I can't vouch for the truth of the story, but it's an interesting story about the power of Rabbi Kivega. He gave the man two choices. Anyway, the Gemara says that Pizman has said we don't have Misa bidei Bezdin, right? Because Batlas on Hedgin, but instead Akash Baruch Hu has his ways of bringing it out. Anyway, so this guy died. Now here's timeline. Here's the timeline. We'll call it T1. The man has this relationship with his daughter. Now, time T3 is what we call Hamada Bidin, meaning that's when she could demand a payment for a knas. In time T2, in between, the father drops dead. Right? Now again, we're not talking about a case... okay, so I told him, just 1 second... Wait, let me snap out of a dream again. I'm sorry. I told you it was a case like Rabbi Kivega where he died because of a punishment min hashamayim. Forget about that. Well, let's talk about a regular classical case of Ma'anis Mefata, right? And the father dies before Hamad Abedin. Okay, sorry. Okay. So now, if the father dies before Hamad Abedin, now what happens? The Mishnah, again, the Yerushalmis try to explain the Mishnah. And what would have been if not for Kim Levi the Rabbi Minei? So now, the Yarshim have to pay the Knas.
When is the Mechila?
You know what? Give me a minute, Yechiel, because I messed up on the mathematics here. It'll take me, if you give me 5 minutes, I apologize profusely. You know, I learned this last night at about midnight, so let me just get to the mathematics. I'm sorry. So what happens now? The Yarshim have to be Porea the Knas. Okay, right? So now, the Mishnah says the following, that as a result of Kim Leib the Rabbi Minei, so again, Rabbi Yossi Aglili himself is talking about another case, that's a case of Stama Anis, but our Yerushalmi is using the logic of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, which we'll explain in a minute, and plugging it into the Mishnah of Baal Bito. So let's focus now for a moment on Baal Bito. Okay. So let's assume, like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that she can collect her knas. She can collect her knas. Right? Let me just go over that one more time. That according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, in the case where the father dies, she goes to his yarshim to collect the knas. Just 1 second. All right. I'm not sure about that point, but let me just see what happens here. Okay. So now, what happens if... Oh, here's the way it works. Just surface level mechanics here, mathematics. We'll get to a deeper level of mathematics in a minute, but... So, if we're going to say that the Mechayev of Knas is the Be'ila itself, right? Leave out Kim Levi the Rabbi name, right? Then even though the father died before Hamad Abedin, Nevertheless, the Machayev was already set in what do you call it, was engraved in stone. Can I use that phrase? Why? Because the Maisa Be'ila generates the Knas. So if the father's out of the picture, if he dies before Amar Bedin, then she can collect the Knas from his Yarshim. Oh. Comes along the Mishnah and says, no. In this case, there was no Machayev of Knas. Why was there no Machayev of Knas? Because the time of the Be'ila, when the father was alive and he implemented this action, he would have been Chayev Misa for that Be'ila. If we would have taken him to court, it would be a capital crime. It's hence, we're going to apply the principle of Kimle Bidarabamine. Oh, so let's just see. He says the following. Afal gav dimifuta midaita ovda lo shayach lomar dimochla knas ela hecha da knas li atzma vol hecha di ein ha knas li atzma ela via afal gav di avia atzma baleho lo shayach mechilo lo chen kishemeis lo shayach mechilo v'gova knas min ayorshim. Wow, this is wild. Let's see if we can make any sense out of this. It works like this. The father doesn't collect a knas when he has a relationship with his daughter, because he's the one who should collect the knas. So he's not going to collect the knas from himself. But in conceptual terms, he should be collecting the knas. What that's going to do for us is it's going to preclude her ability to be a mocheles. Correct? Now, what happens is that if she cannot be a mocheles, she's going to collect the knas. But wait a minute, what do you mean she's going to collect the knas? The father collects the knas. Now, the father can't collect the knas if he died. So if he died, then we should be mafkia the father, and then she should now have rights or recourse to collect from the Yorushin. Oh, so the Gemara now has to force herself into the following position. That there never was a Knas to begin with. You follow what I'm saying? We have to be oker, you know, we have to nip it in the bud, meaning from the inception there was no Knas. And why is that? Because of Kim Levi the Rabbinine. If you don't have Kim Levi the Rabbinine, then she would in fact collect knas from the Yarshim, even though it was a mafuta. Why? Because Yerushalmi holds that since at the moment that the father, implemented the action, he was alive and well, there now was a theoretical collection of a knas, meaning the father is close to the knas. Again, Lamaisa, after Amar Bedin, he wouldn't collect the knas, because he doesn't pay knas to himself. But that doesn't undermine the knas. Now, what happens is he dies before the Amar Bedin. If he dies by Amar Bedin, so his mechila is impossible, and therefore the chi of knas is still alive and active. How do you collect the chi of knas after a man dies? You collect it from his yarshim. So Mimanafshach, she has a right to collect this knas. Meaning, we've solved both our problems. There was no mechila of the father because he died. He died before Amar Bedin. And she never had the possibility of being mochel, because we're going to her papa mafuta, because the knas goes to her father. And why does the knas go to her father? Because at the time of the Maisa Bia, which generates the chiv knas, that knas was earmarked for the father. Now you'll ask me, what do you mean she can collect knas? Who's she collect knas from? He's dead already. The answer is she collects it from his yarshim. So let's say, for example, she comes to her brother, her own brother, and she says, pay me 50. He looks at her like she's crazy. The answer is, our father would have had to pay me the 50 because he wasn't mochel. He died before the Amar Bedin. And the moment of activating the mechila is the moment of Amar Bedin. Now, if there was no mechila on the chiyuv, then she says, I want to collect from my father. Well, my father's dead. Sorry. Well, you're the Yarshim. So it's a Shibud Mamon, and she wants to collect from that Shibud Mamon. Comes along the Mishnah and tells me, Nain, she cannot collect. Why? Because It's not pshat that that there was a chiyuv and now he dies and therefore she collects from the yarshin. There was never a chiyuv knas to begin with. Why? Because that ma'isa bia was a chiyuv misas bezdin, and if it was a chiyuv misas bezdin, we apply the principle of kim leib d'rabbi. Very wild idea in the Yerushalmi. Let's just see if he sheds a light on this. V'tirtzu atosvus, the Yerushalmi muki lachmas nishkebole ad shelo mes, hu mes. Okay, we didn't read the next line. For hu adin ad shelo bagra, hu bagra. Okay, that's a little bit more complicated, so I'm trying to go slowly here. Oh. Now, here's the point of the Yerushalmi, the way Tosfos understands it. The Elav Kimlev Rabine, that she would have rights to collect the knas from the Yorshim if not for Kimlev the Rabine. How so? Keva da knas magia keisli atzma. Since now she, after the father dies, now she steps into his feet and she has a right to collect the knas. Yechol oisli tva Yorshim. She shal mula haknas. Umishum the kimlei ramine potter. So you'll ask me the question. Wait a minute. We're talking about a mafuta, and a mafuta lechor this mechila. Umiu came into pshas biila haya haknas. If not for kimlei ramine, haya knas shaych la viha is lechel amem the mafuta potter mishum the machla. The kevin sheina knas li shala. Right, the knas, as it, if we go back to the moment of the inception of the knas is not earmarked for her, but rather it's earmarked for him. Therefore, her mafuta daito situation is not a mechila. Is lo mahali mechilos mishmachi yitzuch. The ulam, he says that Tosis has a problem. What's the problem? The cave of the Vishas Bia HaKnas Shalav Afagav the. Oh, this is on the case of Bog. Okay, I'll just read it through. I'm not explaining this line here, but Afagav the Bogra Acher Kach Lo Shayach Shetamidenu Bedin Temam Ona Bedin Shayach Bedorishu Shalom. Oh, I see what he's asking. She wants to come now and sue the Yarshim. But wait a second. We just finished saying that the knas is for a father. So how could she sue the yarshim for a knas that has to be paid by that has to be paid to her father? She doesn't have rights to be tovei anyone on behalf of her father. Oshach shetamidenu b'din tema amidu b'din shayach b'dover shehu shalom. So I'm not sure what he means over here. Okay, so Rav Osai, what I want to do now is something a little bit different, and Bli Neder, if I can borrow a pencil from someone, or I'll use a pen, it doesn't matter. I want to pick up this last piece tomorrow and go over this one more time. Now, do you have the pages I gave out from the Chassam Sofer?
Yes. 1-4.
How many pages do you have? You have a whole bunch of pages,
right? 1-4.
1-4. Okay, that's good enough. So there are a few things that I want to point out here in the Chassam Sofer. First, on page, one second. Give me a second there. I know there are 2 points I wanted to make, but I think there was 1 point before that. I just want to go say there. There was one thing I had on page one that I wanted to point out. Just 1 second. Let's see if I can find it now. Oh, Naros. Do you see that second paragraph on page one? Naros.
Naros.
Now, it's very, very interesting. The opening line of this perek is to be medayek from the word Naros. that our Mishnah reflects the Shita Rabbi Meir against the Chachamim, that a Ketana does not collect Knas. Okay. Now he says the following. On the Benidam Emdaladam in Beis, Kosra Tosis, Dilarava, Lesle Hach Diyuka. So again, we're building castles in the sky to prove that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Meir against the Chachamim, based on the fact that it says Nara Velok Nara in Ketana Lo, that deal. Rava, he says, according to Tosis in Nida, doesn't have that deal. And Rava is of the opinion that our Mishnah is authored by the Chachamim of Rabbi Meir, which means even a Ketan. So the Chassam Sofer says the following. Naros. It's the second paragraph in the third paragraph of Chassam Sofer.
Yeah, I don't have that text. I have the original. So it's the third paragraph at the beginning of Parashat Lishi for Chassam Sofer?
Yeah. Again, I guess there are different ways of printing it. In the way we printed it, it's about 10 lines down from the top.
Exactly.
Yeah? He says the following, Vinira Devada Imas Nisan Dilan Aones Koi, this before Rav Papa, in Cain, Lekala Medak Nara Veloktana. Why? The Lishna Dekra Nokat. We have a principle that whenever the Torah uses the word Nara, it means even a Nara. A Ketana and certainly a Nara. Okay, and then he tells you to look up Tosus and Sanhedrin. So if that be the case, then this whole diuk is again, if we're assuming our Mishnah is in the case of Ones, Tegef, immediately we'll get to the case of Mefuta, but in the case of Ones, Nara means even a Nara. And therefore, there's no diuk. Again, Tosfos says that Rava doesn't have the diuk, but our Gemara does have the diuk. Right? Who does our Gemara quote? Abaye? I'm sorry, just that I'm my Gemara is like pile is like nuffle all over my polis. You know? Let me just. Oh, so it's a stoma, right? The Gemara doesn't quote anybody. So Nara in Ketana lo. Why should we exclude Ketana? Oh, so he says the following. Ach shmaitim our suya ozol rav papa de muki maslisa b'mafuta is nehid ba'ones nami mairi ki mukach begiores mikonkum futa nami mairi. So watch what happens here. The Chassam Sofer is pointing out that there are two parshiyos in the Torah. There's one parsha in Ki Teitzei, that's the parsha of Ma'anes, and there's another parsha in Mishpatim, the parsha of Mefuta. There's one striking difference between the two parshiyos, and that is the Torah only in one of those two parshiyos employs the word Nara.
Yeah.
And that is in the parsha of Ones. Now Rav Papa interprets our Mishnah as Mefuta. That's because of our discussion about what's it called? What's it called?
Rodev.
Memela, let's go back to the Parsha Mefuta. In the Parsha Mefuta, the word Nara doesn't appear. So when our Gemara is Medayek, it's not being Medayek from the Parsha. If you were only being Medayek from the Parsha, then the word Nara would mean even a Nara. And therefore our Mishnah would express the view of the Chachamim of Rabbi Meir. And even a Ketana would be in the parasha of Ones, of Knas. But why is it that our Gemara insists that the word Nara means Nara in and Ketana lo? Because our Gemara is not analyzing the Lashon HaMikra, but rather the Lashon Chachamim. From the perspective of Lashon HaMikra, the Torah doesn't even mention the word Nara. Because we're talking about Mefuta. And the word Nara doesn't even appear in the parasha of Mefuta. So Rav Papa now gives us a basis for understanding the entire sugya of the diuk that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Meir. Because once you introduce mefuta, then now we drop from Lashon HaMikra to Lashon Chacham. In Lashon HaMikra, the word Nara means even a Nara. In Lashon HaChachamim, the word Nara comes to be Mamayit Ektar. Alright, that's just one point I wanted to make. Now if you can fast forward to page 4. Now, Yechiel, I don't think you were here when we had this Chakir, so I'll just say it over very quickly. We had two ways of understanding the Rishonim, that's Tosis, Rabban, and others, who hold that in the case of a Nachris, she doesn't collect Knas. One way was to say that Mi'ikar Adin, she's excluded from Knas. Because Knas is only given to a Jewish girl, not to a non-Jewish girl. The other way of explaining it was that it's a separate problem of what she's going to do with the money. It's more of a technical issue. We don't want to give her money into our pocket, and she's going to spend it on Avodah Zarah. And the difference between the two, which we developed based on the Rush in Kiddushin, was a case where she is a Nachris, but we can supervise and make sure, guarantee that she's not worshipping Avodah Zarah, she's not misappropriating the money for the sake of a pagan monastery, and so forth and so on. So the kasha now is a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that a shivcha ein lo knas. Now, you could always argue that maybe a shivcha ein lo knas is for some sort of technical reason. We're afraid that she'll use the money and abuse the money. But the Yerushalmi says that, and this is, again, I can only tell you in my printout on page 4.
What's the paragraph, though?
And the paragraph is Vialakusis.
Okay.
So that should make it a little easier. So if you look towards the end of that paragraph, Yalakusis, again, depending on how you've broken up into paragraphs, but he says, there's Yerushalmi that says, Shivcha ein lo knas, mishum delav bas havayahi. Now take those words, havayahi, and put them in inverted commas. That's called a havayahi. Havayahi means she has to be in the parasha of havaya. There's no way you can marry a shivcha. So now that some sofer is really bothered, because it's crystal clear that the Yerushalmi is saying that a shivcha is excluded from knas because of etzem adin, ikar adin. Yerushalmi's not saying that we're worried about what she's going to do with the money and we have to put it into escrow or anything like that. It's saying because she's not in the parsha. The Torah is talking about a bas havaya, right? It says velo siyali isha. There's no way you can marry a shivcha. So now that some sort of says I have a problem, because if I take that logic one step further, I'm going to apply the same logic to a nachris, correct? A nachris is excluded from knas mitzadik adin. Why? Because a nachris is a lav bas havaya. No one can marry a nachris in a valid kiddushin. So to the same extent that the Yerushalmi excludes Shivcha under the derivation of Bas Havaya, because it says Velo Si Elisha, we should logically exclude a Nachris. So that's okay if you all like Tosis that a Nachris is excluded from Knas Mikra Din. But according to the other Rishonim, that Nachris is excluded from Knas because we're afraid she's going to use the money in the wrong way. What are you going to do with this Yerushalmi? The Yerushalmi clearly would exclude a Nachris because she's a Lav Bas Havaya. So to answer this question, the Chasam Sofer offers a distinction between Shivcha and Nachris. And he says the following. He says, Tzarech Lomar, you'll see it in the next piece, next few words, here it's the next to the last line in this paragraph, the Nachris Adifa. Wow, that's pretty wild. You know, a Nachris is one step higher than a shivcha. Why? Shebiyadol is gaya. That if she decides, she can be misgaya. Masha enkein shivcha ain't biyadol ishtacher. The only way she can become an ois shivcha, baskorin, is if her master decides to give her a get. She can stand on her head from now till Mashiach comes, it's not going to help her. She cannot achieve shichur. She can never become a Bas Havaya, or at least she doesn't have biyada to become a Bas Havaya. In the case of a Nachris, it's biyada to become a Bas Havaya. Now, in the next paragraph, he quotes a Tosfos, and I'm not sure which Tosfos this is. I think it's this Tosfos, Divar Maskevel Akusis, which we were going to go through today, but we didn't get a chance to go through it. And he quotes a sugya Bava Kama. Here it says Bava Kama Lamed Ches. Here he doesn't tell you where Bava Kama it is. So I'm not sure what he has in mind. Now, do you gentlemen have page 5, or the last page I gave was 4? Okay, so Yechiel, you'll have a paragraph that says starts Abba Al Achoso, at least in your
on page 5. I have the same print you have. I went to the
But you have page 5.
But Baal Chosso Sof Perik Ben Sor.
Sof Perik Ben Sor.
Okay.
So Rabosa, I apologize that you don't have this, but I'll give it to you Blinetta another time. So wait a minute, is it time for Mincha?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Alright, so let's open the door and maybe I could squeeze in one line before the bell rings. He says the following: Hikshasha, so Kimle b'Ravmina. Right, because of Nitan Latzil b'Nafsho, this was the sugya that we touched upon of Rode. Hine lama farshim sham de Nitan Latzil Latzal Nirdav. If we assume that the reason why you kill the Rodef is to save the Nirdav, Asi Shap and the Pshitel Shas to Potomi Tashlumin, Mishum Denitan Latzil Benafshel, or Garmi Machteris, Avalama Farshim. This is the part I want you to underline. Avalama Farshim, Nitan Latzil Ha Rodef Me Avera, that the reason why we kill the Rodef is to stave off his Avera, that he shouldn't be guilty of an Avera. It's like the case of what? Ben Soramore, you know, Mutav she Yomuzaka Val Yomuzchayu, in Kain Hodim Mutalahargo Hulitovasa. I mean, that's a very paradoxical statement, but we're saving him from an Avera by killing him. Is the Mechas Chos Rachman Ale, is Tovshi Argenav Loyava Verzum, Kamin Oli Lashasta Bechiai Gavna, in case of Rapapa, namely of Mefuta, Potomi Tashlum. Right, see, it's a chayve krisus. She's mocheles, and the Gemara says therefore he pays tashlum. Why does he pay tashlum? We have to kill him anyway, even if she's a mafut, because the purpose and the goal of killing the rodef is not to save the nirdav, but rather to save the rodef from another. Okay, and Rabbi Moshe will pick that up tomorrow.